I think it was after a year of joining the school that I asked a question and I noticed how supportive the community was. And it made me feel less alone in my experiences. At that time, I started to work on communication, and it was really helpful to get insights from other attachment styles. It not only helped my communication, but I also gained more understanding and compassion towards others.
Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike DiZio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike DiZio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back, Personal Development School listeners and viewers. We're back with another episode where my guest today is Cynthia. She's been a member of the Personal Development School for almost 3 years now. She's attended a lot of my routines that I host, so I've seen her and her growth and progression over the last 3 years, and it's been a really a treat to watch. Today, we're going to talk about her journey, how things have been, some of the challenges she might have experienced through this whole healing journey, and just checking in with Cynthia and seeing how things are going and how she's doing after being in the school for 3 years. Hello, Cynthia. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you. Thanks for being here today. So, just to start off, can you share with us how you first recognized the need for healing your attachment style?
So in 2015, a close friend of mine finished her PhD on childhood abuse and disorganized attachment style. I looked things up after her PhD, but what I mostly found was information related to anxious and dismissive attachment styles. And I resonated with both, but there was no ready approach on how to work through things. So at that time, I didn't think much of it. So I focused on other things. Fast forward in 2020, I didn't understand my hot and coldness towards my family and the partner I was dating at the time. I did a test on Psychology Today, and it said I was a fearful avoidant. And that's also when Thais's videos kept popping up in my YouTube feed.
Good old
And
YouTube
after,
algorithm.
yes, oh, it was so helpful for me, I think, at the time. And after binging a bunch of videos, it felt so great to finally understand myself. And I remember carefully sharing with my therapist, I was seeing that I was disorganized. And she started laughing and she said, "Yes, you are." But at that time, I was still hesitant to join the school since I was already in therapy. But when Thais launched a course on how to re heal any relationship, I could focus both on my relationship to my family and on my romantic relationships.
Right. Wonderful. That's great. Do you want to let us know what were sort of some of the big challenges or key challenges you faced at the beginning of your journey?
I can think of two things. In the beginning, I inhaled the courses and doing all the coursework. So,
Typical FA going all in.
yes, but jumping from one course to another, and it was a total mess. But it felt a little bit like an addiction. It's like gathering up all the knowledge I could get, like a little hamster, putting all the information in my cheeks. But while it was also freeing to know all the information that was provided by PDS, I felt very understood. It was also very difficult to realize that I needed more in my childhood. So I carried a lot of anger, resentment, and sadness towards my parents in the beginning. And that was very painful. I would say later on that changed to having more compassion for their situation as well.
Thanks for sharing that. Could you highlight within the personal development school, was there a specific moment or an exercise that really impacted your understanding of your attachment style?
I think the hot and coldness explanation was very helpful, but the most empowering exercise in PDS is, for me, the auto-suggestion, where you reprogram your core wounds. It carved out a nice little time for myself before I started my day, and it felt as a good meditation at the same time. It helped me to slow down. It also helped me to understand my emotions better and to catch myself in real time when those wounds would pop up.
Right. So, yeah. That's amazing. So you were more of a start of the day type person? You would do more of your work in auto suggestion in the morning hours as opposed to the evening? No?
No, I'm actually not a morning person, but really? This one really helped me to not rush, eat and then go to work. It helped me wake up and give myself some time in the morning.
I love that. That's so important. It's actually something I'm focusing on too, because the days where I wake up really close to my first meeting or right when I have to start work, I get flustered easier, I find, and you know, everything comes at you all at once, emails and all this stuff. But if you take that time in the morning to sort of ease into your day and do a bit of a mental check-in and connect with yourself, I definitely find the days a lot easier. And it sounds like you're doing that for yourself as well.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely sets the tone for your day.
Were you setting the alarm earlier, or were you just being a little more intentional with, you know what, I'm going to make sure I do this first and then start my day?
Well, when I was doing PDS, I was doing my second degree, so I was a bit more flexible with my time. But yeah, woke up around 7:30, and then the first half hour it was PDS time, auto-suggestion, I would say.
So Cindy, with the auto-suggestion tool, how did that help you sort of make a breakthrough in your healing process?
So working on my core wounds with the auto-suggestion, it helped me not to personalize things anymore.
Yeah.
I started working on my anxious core wounds at the first months, and it really quelled my anxiety. I found it a bit more difficult to work on my avoidance side, especially the trust, trapped, powerless, and defective wounds, because they made me quote unquote feel safe. I worked on them last year, and they muted my shame a lot as well. So
that's interesting. Yeah, with the avoidant wounds being a little harder to let go of, because you were saying in essence they felt like they were sort of keeping you safe, right? So it is sort of vulnerable to work on those and, you know, open yourself up. So that's really brave. How would you say overall your relationships have changed since you joined the personal development school and worked on your attachment style?
I am fortunate enough that I've always had enough close friends. They've always accepted me who I was. I do see now that I can share more with them, also because I'm aware of things. I used to think that my family dynamics were everyone's family dynamics, and share more. I realized this is not the case. And when it comes to having difficult conversations with friends or other people, I don't shy away from them anymore. Where I used to have a very strong fight reaction, I now can have a positive outcome instead of a negative one. So my perspective towards having difficult conversations is different. I always thought, why bother having a conflict communication? And if I really needed to defend myself, I would get very, very testy. Now I can address things in a moment or ask to rehash things later on.
I love that.
It was definitely practice having those difficult conversations. And I'm still practicing, I would say.
For sure.
Yeah.
Even though we do the healing work, there's always going to be, you know, more practice, or, you know, if it's things that we've been dealing with our whole life, you know, it's natural that it's not going to be just effortless for the rest of our lives. So
no, it's not modeled to some people. So that takes time to practice it. Yeah.
Exactly. I wanted to just ask about a couple of things there. So that you mentioned, so you had a big friend group, or you said you were fortunate enough to have friends. Were they at first like, whoa, who's this new Cynthia who's showing up as different? Or were they like, wow, this is really building more intimacy and closeness?
No, they've always been very supportive. They always knew that I was going through therapy, and also that I was going through a couple of things with my family. And I think they always knew, but I didn't. So, there is a comedian out there, Taylor Tomlinson, and she talks about mental health a lot. And there's one sketch where she's sharing that she has one of a disorder, I think bipolar, and she shared it with her friends, and she was surprised with the reaction of their friends, because they were not like, oh, do you have bipolar? And they were more like, oh no, we always knew you had something, but we didn't have a name for it. So that was basically what with my friends as well, but it was a bit more, a bit more compassion to my situation also.
Yeah. I love that. And I mentioned that because you know how like cafes might struggle with boundaries or asserting their needs or basically speaking up. And some people who are used to being with somebody who's more people pleasing and not speaking up, when the new person comes up and starts to sort of challenge the person, they can be a little bit like, whoa, what's this? Or, oh, I don't know if I like this new version. Sometimes takes a little while to get used to. So that's great that you had really supportive friends who sort of accepted you almost no matter what. But now you can, you know, be yourself and share more. It probably feels a lot better now.
Yeah. I was actually going through my report cards a couple of days ago, and from like first grade, kindergarten, and it said, I think the first month was Cynthia is very insecure, has lack of concentration. And then 3 months later, it turned into, since Cynthia is a very sociable girl, she makes lots of new friends. And I'm just very grateful that my school and my teachers and the friends I made there were just wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think it helped me a lot.
Another thing I want to mention too is when you said you got like hyper defensive before, somebody would say something and you would be defending like there was no tomorrow. It makes so much sense, because if we're criticizing ourselves a lot, then when somebody else goes to do it, we're like, oh, hell no, or I'm the only one who's going to be beating on myself. You're not going to come here and say this. And we get overly defensive. Did you find that? Did you find, you know, you might have been critical in your own self, and then when somebody might criticize you, you'd get sort of really defensive because of that?
Yeah, but what it also was people please. And then, oh, this is too much people pleasing. Now you really crossed something. And the only way I could speak up was to get very flustered and very loud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. If you're just people pleasing all the time, that's only one part of you, right? So you're sort of hiding the side that wants to be really strong and assertive and communicate. So because that's been suppressed for so long, it probably just comes out and, you know, in ways that people are like, whoa, she's really upset right now. Or, you know, this is not the usual Cynthia we know.
Yeah, and they don't understand it either. And it's mostly about little things as well. But to me, it wasn't little things, because it was piling up and then it was like a bomb exploding.
Right.
But yeah, it's confusing for other people.
For sure. When they don't know what's going on in our internal reality, they might be really confused when they see sort of just the end product of days, weeks, or months of sort of the buildup. So I'm glad you're sort of not having that as much, because I know it's challenging.
So I have some really exciting news, and it's that integrated attachment theory training is back. In other words, you can be trained to become a relationship coach certified in integrated attachment theory in literally 60 days. So who is this for? Well, of course, this is for any individual who wants to make an impact and really be of service to others while also obtaining freedom and flexibility and abundance in their lives. And this is also for anybody who's already a counselor, a therapist, a coach, and just really wants to expand their toolkit. We've had so many people enter into the Integrated Attachment Theory program because they're just looking to obtain a certain degree of mastery in terms of understanding their own attachment patterns, and also the attachment patterns of maybe their children or partner or other loved ones in their lives, so they can really support those people and understand them more deeply. Now, please keep in mind that the last two times we ran this program, we filled up very fast. In fact, we oversold the programs and sold up completely. So if you're interested, click the link below to learn more and dive in with me. And I'd love to see you on the other side before seats run out.
So Cynthia, what would you say if someone was just starting their own journey? What would be sort of an advice or something you'd say to them who is just starting to heal their attachment style?
Working on yourself takes time. It can be overwhelming sometimes. It can be lonely sometimes, especially when you work through toxic shame. But yeah, reach out to those close friends you have or family members. And in case you don't, in the school itself, I think the community is very supportive as well.
For sure. We have a lot of those support groups where you can kind of show up and people are always willing to lend an ear. There's people of obviously like attachment styles. So when you share, they're going to understand sort of what you're going through and have the same probably triggers and core wounds and whatnot. So definitely, yeah, there's a lot of support in the school and I'm glad you got to take advantage of that. Are there any specific tools or techniques that you found specifically helpful that you'd recommend to people on their healing journey?
Yeah, so I already mentioned the auto-suggestion, so that one, but also an honorable mention for the emotional processing tool and shadow work. With the emotional processing tool, it helps you to question your stories in real time, and shadow work allowed me to have more compassion towards others and, again, myself.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. Would you say the webinars are a key piece in helping people heal?
I remember the webinars in the beginning were overwhelming because there was so much information.
Yeah.
Still, like half of it I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But now I go back to webinars before I joined and I learn still so much from every answer Thais gives, and they're so nuanced and detailed. So, yeah, I find so much to learn still from every webinar.
So Cynthia, how has the community aspect of the Personal Development School platform supported you in your journey?
So during my first year, I basically just worked on the courses and I was in the background during most of the webinars. I was still very suspicious and I didn't feel I could trust. There was still a lot of shame-related wounds to ask questions to Thais or join other routines. I think it was after a year of joining the school that I asked a question and I noticed how supportive the community was, and it made me feel less alone in my experiences. I think when I worked through all my wounds, especially the shame-related ones, I started to join other routines. At that time, I started to work on communication, and it was really helpful to get insights from other attachment styles. It not only helped my communication, but I also gained more understanding and compassion towards others.
Right. I love it. And not to embarrass you, but in the communication routine that I run, I was always so happy that you would attend because you were always one of the ones who were putting your hands up either to volunteer and share what was going on for you or to offer support and advice and feedback to other people who are sharing. So it's really great to watch. You know, at first you might have been nervous and shy, not sharing as much, to then feeling safe. And then, like I said, you were one of the people who really stepped up and were providing so much value and helping a lot of the people that were there at the meetings. So I just want to thank you for that.
Yeah, and I think especially conflict communication and dual scripts with you was very good for my exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Work through things. And yeah, I always thought they were minor or something, but it really helped me to have better communication with my neighbor or my landlord.
I wish we could have a separate podcast about your neighbor, probably. But jokes aside, you mentioned before about asking questions in the webinars. For anybody listening, I know it can be really nerve-wracking and scary, or think like, oh, my question's weird or strange or whatever, but almost guaranteed the question you ask, there's going to be a lot of people who are really happy you asked that question and are really happy they're getting to hear sort of Thais break down, you know, the results and what you should do to take action and how to sort of help it. So definitely question asking. I do realize it is nerve-wracking at first because some of the webinars are a little bit larger. There's a pretty decent audience. But as you mentioned, you know, once you do sort of break that vulnerability and ask a question, the value you get back from it is big, right? So,
yeah. And I also like to add that I had a lot of shame around having a need for romantic relationships. And I felt weak and I felt that I didn't need one. And I remember starting to ask questions about my relationships to Thais
Mm-hmm.
helped me to work through things also and to ask those things to my own therapist, because I was too embarrassed to talk about that. So like right
Even
now,
with the therapist? Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got to sort of bring that to light. That's really great. You've touched on it before, but have you found value in connecting with the other members who are also working on healing their attachment style?
Yeah, I connect less with the community members post-webinar hangouts due to the time zone I'm in. I mostly need to go to bed. I do meet up with a girl who lives in my city. Where I live, there are very few people with a fearful avoidant attachment style or understanding of attachment styles in general.
Right.
So it's nice to connect with her and talk about the things we're working on. And I think we're slowly building a friendship now. So it's really nice.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. Are you saying there's no fearful avoidance in your area? Is this an anomaly on the planet? Because I feel like there's a lot of FAs everywhere.
Yeah, I would say every culture kind of leans a bit more avoidant or anxious. And
good call.
I think the Dutch definitely lean more avoidant.
Yes.
I do think Dutch people are a bit more secure compared to other countries. It's the fortunate thing that you're a wealthy nation with not a lot of war in the last decades.
Right.
I know, well, this girl and then two other girls who are fearful, avoidant, but all the others are mostly either anxious or DA leaning or secure.
Right.
So I would say like 50% is secure over here.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I didn't even factor that in. My mom is born in Finland and I'm pretty sure Finland is like,
the amount of
avoidance in Finland. Shout out to all the Finnish people listening. But for sure, there's a lot more avoidance than anxious people in Finland. That would be my belief. But, you know, maybe we'll take a survey one day and break down all the countries.
With school system, maybe that's why they don't have so many avoidance learning
there as well. So. Good positive spin on it. I like it. So looking back, what would you say has been the most significant lesson that you've learned at the personal development school?
There are a few, but not to second guess myself has been so liberating. And I feel so much better than I was a few years ago. So I think that's my main number one thing. Yeah.
I love that. Big smile as you're saying that too. So I'm happy you've gained that. So how is it learning in the personal development school? We know that it's helped relationships, but just your overall sense of self, what would you say? Where was the growth in overall sense of self?
I would say, like, if I'm going to relate this to my relationships, it's and sense of self, I can definitely see I have more intimacy. Back in the day when shit really hit the fan, I could only rely on two of my closest friends, and that was only in desperate times of need. And so being more aware of my emotions really helped me to have a better sense of self, but also have more intimacy with my close friends. I wasn't fully letting people in also because I wasn't aware. I wasn't aware that I was protecting myself and building up walls. So being more aware of my emotions and having more a sense of self helped me to have more intimacy.
That's great. Where do you see yourself in your attachment journey in the future? Or how does the personal development school fit into your future?
I think I mentioned this before already, but there are a few things I'm focusing on at the moment with my therapist and also probably PDS in the future. I used to oscillate between either codependency or counterdependency, and the thing in the middle would be interdependency. I really have said goodbye to my codependency and I'm very proud of it, but letting go of my hyper independence is still a little bit scary. I used to have a big freeze response and a lot of fear of being close to someone. So I'll be working on building intimacy with more people. And I think exposure is probably the best way to go. And like I mentioned before, I still have to do some work on my vulnerability. Although I'm much better than I was a few years ago, I can still work on some parts.
Definitely, definitely. And how would you integrate the lessons you've learned from personal development school into your everyday life?
So an example I can think of is my daily workouts. Before, I used to exercise to numb my thoughts and get the hit of dopamine. I was very out of touch with my body and would get injuries without realizing I was stretching myself too far. Now I can focus on my breath and feel how things are feel in my body. So I'm much better at somatically processing things now.
Great, great. How did you integrate the lessons you've learned from PDS into your relationships specifically?
So with my colleagues, so that's less intimate, I would say. I can speak in a moment. I can set boundaries. And if it are really difficult conversations, I can have the sandwich approach. And in my family relationships, I'm not explosive anymore. I can use that sandwich approach as well. And I can gently express what I need or tell what is upsetting me. So that's helpful.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Cynthia, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your experience and what the journey's been like. I know this is very inspirational for listening, for me listening, just hearing. It sounds like you've had quite the amount of growth, and also seeing it personally, I get to watch people like you and others grow within the school, which is wonderful. So I just wanted to thank you again for being here and sharing your story with everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you. And for everyone listening, thank you for being here again. And as always, good luck on your healing journey.